So friends, let us begin today's discussion on this great scripture with our usual chant. As you are aware, friends, we had been discussing the 18th chapter in course of this weekly study, and last Friday we saw how our various actions, they all have five factors, and all these factors they do not really touch our true self, and therefore this true self is not really involved in any action. No action really touches our true self. Our body acts, but the self is still. It doesn't participate in any action. Our mind works, the self doesn't. Therefore, that self is described as immoving, immovable, achala, always steady. Because it is all pervading, there is no movement for all pervading. Movement means if say I go from here to there, it is movement because I am here and not there. But for that which is all pervading, where can it go? It cannot. It is already everywhere. So therefore there is no movement for our true self. So it is not doing anything. But yet everything is done because of it. All actions depend on it. It doesn't depend on anything. Its existence is just spontaneous. It is self-existence. It is not caused by anything. There is nothing that can have effect on it. It is always the same being beyond time and space. Time and space, they are like shadows that come on it, but it doesn't have any impact of time and space on it. It remains always the same, and therefore it does not act. And why should we remember this? Because many times we get this feeling that why God this did this to me, then we should remember that God is not doing anything at all. It is our perception, it is our ignorance that makes things look as if somebody like God is doing it. It is God is not doing anything. So, therefore, it is not right to put the blame on God and try to see why God did it to me. Also, another important idea here is that to see our true self is transcendent. Whatever may happen, it still retains its pristine purity. It doesn't get tarnished by any action at all. So, this is to be remembered that we saw last time. And so, whosoever therefore gets identified with the true self, if we get identified with body and mind, we are always doing actions. We are active. Even if we are sitting, we are active. But if we are identified with the true self, then we are not doing anything. Just to give you an example, which I have given many times before here, that in a movie screen, if you see the screen is not doing anything. If you are identifying with the movie, so many actions are continuously going on. So, depends on what you identify with. If you identify with the picture of body and mind, the movie, then yes, things are getting done. But if you are identified with the reality behind, no action is being performed by it. You never hold the screen to be the culprit. If you see a murder taking place in a movie, the screen is not at fault, and screen is also not getting any credit if some very nice, very good, very noble action gets performed in the movie. So the results, they belong only to body-mind complex, which keeps on shifting, changing, and it doesn't have any reality except that is the reflection or superimposition of the true reality. Like the reality of the screen makes the picture also appear there. If there is no screen, no pictures. So, the screen is the reality, but it doesn't do anything. All others, they do everything, but they are not real. That is the funny part in this. So we have to understand and see that we identify ourselves with the unchanging. And thus we will find a harmonious solution to all that happens in our life, all the actions that we do. We shall have a better standard to determine what is right action and what is not right action, rather than something very arbitrary and subjective as to what is right and what is not right. And thus I determine by that what is just and what is unjust. And then impose my opinion of justice on others. Instead of that, if we see that it is that same screen is in everyone, and if we look at it from that point of view, then we will have the proper understanding that okay, this looks like this from this side, looks in a different, if you have a different perspective, it looks completely different. So that will give us a better sense of how to judge things. And also this will give us this idea that thus we can become free in this universe. We will become free from bondage only if we identify ourselves with the unchanging self. And that is free. And because that is interpenetrating all these changing and bound things, all the matter that we see that is interpenetrated by this spirit, the freedom of the spirit gets superimposed on this bound matter, and thus we all have this urge of becoming free. But unfortunately we don't see deep enough and feel that as body and mind we should become free. And we do not become free like that. It is only the question of which bondage we take up. So, as spirit we are ever free. As matter, there is no chance of getting free. Yeah, therefore, we must learn to identify ourselves with the unchanging self. And then there are steps to do that. We now will see that look, it is how the actions take place. Let us go into a little depth about how we act and why we act in a way we act, and why is there the difference in people acting differently. Either because the people are different or because the circumstances are different. So, Jnanam, the 18th verse of this 18th chapter is Jnanam Jnayam Parijnata Trividha Karma Chodana Karanam Karma Karteti Trividha Karma Sangraha. Knowledge, the knowable and the knower form the threefold impulse to action. The instrument, the object and the agent form the threefold basis of action. Now this verse is a bit philosophical. Let us see the meaning. Jnanam means our awareness, the knowledge that we have about us and the world around. And accordingly what happens, we consider, we have that division. I am the jnata, means the knower. I am the knower, that is the object that is getting known. And then the connection between this knower and the known is knowledge. The knowledge that I have about it. So these three things form the impulse of the action. They together generate the impulse for action. Like an example I gave, that I have the knowledge, this is I. I also have the knowledge that, in front of me is a cookie. Then I have that knowledge, I am hungry. Then I also have the knowledge, the cookie has the capacity to remove that hunger. And so, now with this knowledge what happens? There is the impulse for the action. that, okay, let me go there and grab the cookie and put it in my mouth. These actions take place with this knowledge. In everything, there is our understanding, this is I, this is the world, and this is something that is happening that is not right, that is unjust. And I must do something about it. So that makes me do that, take up a particular action. When my perception changes, that yes, what I was doing, that was not either very just, then I refrain from doing it. When our action is to accuse or curse others, because we feel that they are doing wrong, but after some time we see that maybe they were not that wrong, and then our actions become different. So see how our actions, they are controlled by this underlying division of these three, this knower, the known, and the knowledge. As the knowledge change, for example, people feel hungry, see the cookie and eat the cookie, but then they, if their knowledge tells them later that this cookie is not the right kind of nutrition, has too much for that calories and other things. Suppose somebody like Vishwanath gives me a lecture on that, and then I look at that, oh okay, so although the object is same, the knower is same, both, you know, and yet the knowledge has changed, and therefore my action now will be not to go and grab it, but to find something else to satiate my hunger. So as per knowledge the impulse comes. If you are looking, and this has happened to me quite a few times, that while I am walking, I see a person in front of me, and that person resembles somebody I know, and I have that idea that this is that person, that friend of mine, and I say that, hi, hello John. And then that person doesn't turn back, or and if I shout loudly, he may turn back as just to see what's happening. And then when I see his face, I have to apologize, sorry, sir, my friend John also looks very similar. So my knowledge now changes that he is not that John. So therefore, it is as per knowledge, my actions also change. It is some time back somebody called me from on phone, and he said, well, Swami, I am Peter calling, and at that time I was expecting call from another Peter. Now Peter is quite a common name, you know, in this it is most of these names are so common that they shouldn't be used really as proper names. It is because they are not kind of unique. So said, Swami, I am Peter talking. So I started asking him a few things. Oh yes, yes, I was. And then he got confused that what am I asking. So, oh, you don't remember me from, I am from North Carolina. Oh, okay, you are that Peter. Okay, I am sorry, I said. So the knowledge changed, and so my discussion with that person, my actions changed. What I mean is this, as per our knowledge, these things change. So that is what gives impulse to our actions. Now, when you start acting, now there are three factors of that again. Karanam, the instrument of action. Then karma, the action itself, and the one who acts, the person, the actor, not in the sense of, you know, the one who acts in the movie or like that, the one who is doing the action. So the agent of action, the action itself, and the instrument with which the action is performed, these three again are to be taken into consideration while the action is performed. So the impulse for the action is this, that the knower, the known, and the knowledge. And for the action, how does it take place? It involves these, the one who is doer, the instruments of that action, and the thing that is getting done. So, I like the cookie and I liked music. I like both, but doesn't mean that I will do the same thing with both. If I like, say, a piano being played, I will not go and start eating the piano. Or if I like the cookie, doesn't mean I will put it in my ear. There is the corresponding, instruments that get used, the corresponding sensory organ, motor organ gets used to do that. Like that, the instruments, the doer, they both do the action according to what is to be grabbed. So, although the object is apparently one, a person is seeing according to what you seek from it. Not that everybody is seeking the same thing. That like a professor is there and two people are approaching to the professor. One is the student. So he is seeking answer to some difficulty that he is approaching the professor with that. And the professor's little kid might be approaching for some candy or some such thing, a toy. So the two are approaching the same object in a way, but not seeking the same thing. So it all depends. The actions, therefore, they are performed by that person according to what that person is exactly seeking, and then a proper means are used to get that action done. So all these get involved in performance of an action. And now, therefore, it is told, you must understand, Arjuna, that the knowledge also has three types. The action also is of three types, and the doer of the action also has these three varieties. The three varieties are according to that sattva, rajas, tamas, which are the determining factors in the personal temperament and attitude of a person. So accordingly it changes. That is the 19th verse. Jnanam karma cha karta cha tridhaiva guna bhedatah prochyate guna sankhyane yathavat shrunutanyapi. Knowledge, action and agent are declared in the science of the gunas to be of three kinds. According to the distinction of the gunas, of them also here duly. According to the distinction of the gunas, they vary. Each of these three factors, that is the knowledge, the doer, and then the work done, all these three things, they are have these three varieties. Each of them has these three varieties. And let us see how these three varieties are. These coming verses about the three divisions are tremendously useful and very insightful. That what we call knowledge has the person who is learning, that person is very important. Not that the knowledge is absorbed in the same way by everyone. The temperament matters a lot in understanding. Although You may say, well, everybody is reading the same book of mathematics, but not that everybody is absorbing exactly the same thing, especially the inner understanding, or let us say the deeper conclusions, they become different. And I have seen this a lot, how a person according to the temperament draws many useful conclusions. I was it was very interesting to see. We all studied in high school or middle school actually about how the two sides of a triangle are they always are add up more than the third side of the triangle. The sum of the two sides' length is always more than any one side. So, a very philosophical and very good-natured friend of mine drew the conclusion from this, a psychological conclusion, that therefore one should be always straightforward. Because the crooked way is always longer, you know, that if you take two ways, go here, go there, then it is always going to be a longer route. So, being straightforward saves you a lot of mental problems. So, be straightforward. A very nice conclusion that person took. Now, this is a simple geometric thing, but then see how we take the conclusions according to the temperament that we have. So now the knowledge is being described, the three varieties of knowledge. First, this sattvika knowledge. We have studied earlier what is this sattvika means. This the person who is serene, thoughtful, and not rushing to conclusions, not much interested in the enjoyment but in knowledge. And thus this person, because of this temperament, now this person's knowledge, how is this knowledge? When this person seeks knowledge, very beautiful, sublime, and poetically as well as spiritually important verse. Sarva bhuteshu yenaikam bhavam avyayam ikshate avibhaktam vibhakteshu tajnanam vidhi sattvikam. The knowledge by which one sees the one undivided imperishable substance in all beings which are divided should be known to be sattvika, the one in many. This knowledge looks for unity in diversity. All the objects, they appear different, but this temperament tries to find out one link that is common to all, and thus tries to find that unification. It is that attitude even amongst those who seek this external knowledge. You see this trait that to find, for example, the knowledge of science has two aspects, analysis and generalization. This generalization aspect like this. Of course, not that generalization means painting with a broad brush everything, but understanding the common thread in all different things. Painting things with broad brush will be shown as the tamasika knowledge. We will come to that. But it is, you see the common principle, and then that becomes the wisdom of a person, trying to see the unity in diversity. All the laws of science, which we call as laws, what are they doing? Different various facts, they are strung together in what is called a law. Like you have that law of gravitation. Very simple thing, it finds one principle, one thing that is common to all different objects. Whether heavy or light, it can be a piece of marble or a huge star or a black hole. The law of gravity seems to be common to all these. So it is to discover some common thing that is, and that makes this us happy. That yes, I have found why these, all these objects do these, although they are different, what is common in them. So you get the sense of unity, and when you get the sense of unity, you feel the sense of satisfaction that you have now discovered a secret and you have found something. So this is the principle of generalization. So it depends, of course, on analysis. You analyze and find out the different features and the common features. And then you see, you locate the common feature to see that what really binds all of us together. That togetherness, the unity, that is being sought by this sattvika knowledge. This knowledge seeks the unity, the one. And therefore, that knowledge which finds the one principle that pervades everything, that explains everything, it is in everything and everything is in it. That knowledge is the supreme knowledge. But even at relative level, what we call, say, the laws in administration, any science, that is really finding out the one thread that connects all different things, and therefore that is kind of the sattvika knowledge. Then there is understanding the distinctions. Everything, there the attention is on differences. It is one, not that they don't find a common thing, they may find it, but the attention is more on distinctions, and they are, that is the rajasika knowledge. Prithatvena tu yajnanam nana bhavan prithag vidhan vekti sarveshu bhuteshu tadjnanam vidhi rajasam. But the knowledge by which one sees as distinct in all beings, different entities of various kinds, should be known as rajasika knowledge. See, everything is different, and no two things are really same. Even they say two electrons are not same, and there will be distinguishing features for two electrons too. That is what makes them in fact two. Otherwise you would have called them just one. They are everything that is two, means there must be at least some characteristic that is with one and that is not with the other. So that is why they are two. And so you discover the differentiating characteristics, and that when the emphasis is on that, then what happens, it gives impulse to actions. This is a deep psychological fact, that wherever we see the difference, the action takes place to mitigate that distinction, that difference. Because unity is the inner craving in all of us. Even what we call enjoyment, there is this unity. We seek the unity, and that is why even our actions for enjoyment are like that. It is when I see a cookie and eat it, I get pleasure. But what does it mean? It is bringing a unification. I and cookie kind of become one, then I get pleasure. So the actions are taken to remove these distinctions. It is so therefore these as the, you see the more distinctions, it gives rise to more action. And thus this man is always busy with rajasika knowledge. This always there is action. Oh, let me have this. Let me have this means what? Removing that distinction, that separation. I and money different. If I have it, that means that money and I, they have become now one. I have it now. Like I have the body, I have money also. So let me have that house. Now what changed really? That perception that it has become mine. So the separation is removed. So all the actions out of desires, they are propelled by this perception of distinction, that these things are different. And so let me grab it, let me remove it, whatever, even the removing, that is my enemy. So what do I do? Let me eradicate, kill, so that the distinction is gone, because that is gone. Either assimilate or eradicate. So this is how our actions get more and more propelment through the perceptions of division. And this rajasika knowledge, it goes on emphasizing the divisions or distinctions. And therefore, it goes to bring more and more activity and unsatiating, because of the inner tendency to see more and more divisions. And so, even after getting one house, you are not satisfied. You want to get more houses. How many houses you are going to stay in? It is somewhere I read a joke that some celebrity, I forgot the name, she had married 9 times. So, and then every time she got the divorce, she kept the house with her. And somebody asked her, why, how you kept the house? And then she replied, all my husbands, they taught me housekeeping, and so I keep the house. So it is, the idea is now, see, it is, what are you going to do with them? But yes, you still want to grab, because it is other than you, so you always want to possess it. That is why this person never gets peace, because always that idea of possessing more and more and more, unending, it keeps on just making that person's mind a hell, always in trouble, always running after more, never feeling that yes, it is enough. Because as soon as you see the distinction, the activity gets propelled. That distinction makes you feel uncomfortable, because in truth it is all really one. But because it is not seen in that light, it is seen with that kind of ignorant or morbid temperament, that a sattvika temperament will see the distinct things, but will see them on the same one platform. And so, finding that one substratum of all, that person is calm, doesn't need to add many houses to his so-called property, sees that, well, all actually belong to one being. It is with me, or it is with some other person. That person is like me, after all, we have the same one soul in us. So therefore that person is always quiet, calm, doesn't become turbulent. So, but this person is seeking that unity by in the diversity in a very wrong way. Let me grab everything. The idea of bringing about unity is there everywhere. That is how Alexanders and Genghis Khans and Hitlers, and they wanted to have the whole earth as their my kingdom. It has to be mine, under my power. It is not enough for that person that let me see what can be under my power. Can our body be under our power? You can't even have that in reality. But then you go out and try to rule the whole universe. It is, and then therefore a lot of despair comes to in such endeavors. I want more and more and more and never ending. This is the therefore the end of a Rajasika knowledge. And what is the Tamasika knowledge? It looks like it is also similar to Sattvika, but similar in appearance, completely different, completely opposite in its content. What is this Tamasika knowledge? It also sees one. It doesn't like Rajasika knowledge. Unlike Rajasika knowledge, it doesn't see distinctions. It also sees one. But like those who want a kind of my one as everything. My one is they hold on to that one and do not see anything else. That is, and think that that one part is the whole thing. It is very different from seeing the one thread that connects everything. That one, it is not like seeing the screen that contains all the pictures, but seeing the one picture as everything. So, that is the distinction, the 22nd verse. Yat Krishna vade kasmin karye saktam haitukam atatvarthavad alpamcha tattam asamudharitam. While is that knowledge which is confined to a single product as if it were the whole, which is irrational, not founded upon truth and trivial, is declared to be tamasika. The characteristics have been told in a very succinct but beautiful manner here, that see, yattu krishnavad ekasmen, that one thing that you are perceiving, that occupies your mind to such an extent that everything else is just obliterated from your consciousness. That one thing seems to be everything in life. Many times have this idea. Somebody thinks, for example, vegetarianism is the goal of life. It is not that vegetarianism is good or bad, that is not the point of distinction. But their whole mission of life is like, if you have vegetarianism, then all problems in the world will be solved, nothing else. The whole thing is focused on that. That is the life. I have a friend who thinks that planting more trees is going to be everything in world. That is what everybody must do. Now it is a good thing to plant trees, but then that cannot be the aim and end of the whole universe. He does all these vriksha yajna and this the tree sacrifices. So wants everybody to do the same thing, because according to him that is the only thing needed for the world. Should we not think of God? No, think of God as in planting the tree. So, that is nothing bad particularly, but when you see that that is the whole thing, nothing else should be done by anybody, only plant trees, then that creates problem. It is, so even many good things, when one becomes fanatic about them, then it is the tamasika knowledge, and it leads to lot of personal, this family and social problems, if that person is a very powerful person. And they become powerful because that oneness that brings power, because they are so focused on that one thing, it brings power. And that is why we see that many such, they acquire huge power that destroys the lives of so many people, because they are hell-bent on that one thing. Everything else doesn't matter at all. That even in political ideology, that you grab one idea and think that that is the one thing that is going to solve all problems, and then are hell-bent on making everybody accept it. If you don't accept it, this is my principle to bring peace to the whole world, but if you are not accepting this principle, I am going to kill you. Is it going to bring peace? See, it is like that, you see. It is my job is to bring humility, teach humility to everyone. Yes, I am very proud of my humility. So it is. So that is how one becomes, you know, that tamasika knowledge, it acts like that. That is the whole thing. Everybody has to fall in line. If not, they are kill them. You have to follow my God. Otherwise, either follow my God or die. Here is sword. So, many religions therefore were spread with sword. That yes, it is, if you accept my God, then you have right to live. Because all good people should accept what I say about God. That is what is the divine scripture. Everybody must follow that. If you are not following it, what does it mean? You are not good. And why should bad people live? I will be doing a good act by eradicating you, removing you. So, see how the fanaticism comes. Because of this kind of knowledge, tamasika. This one little thing that is seen as everything. So this is, this tamasika person is not ready to listen to rhyme or reason. If you ask that person, Swami Vivekananda has given lot of discussion on this, that how this person says that, well, God is the only thing. You must follow what I say about religion. And if you ask why, so what is the reason for that? My book says so. If you say, well, but there are other books. No, they are all wrong. Only my book is correct. It is in our interfaith conversation sometimes, and we have a big laugh on this, that how one of our friends tells that how at his home he always learned like this, that we are the right, all others are wrong. Just they are all misguided people. And they are not going to heaven, they are going to hell. Don't mix with them at all. So, that is how, this is tamasika. There is no effort to check your ideas, no effort to expand your knowledge. But sticking to one thing as all. And it is to be understood as very different from the sattvika knowledge, where you seek that one which really encompasses all, which is the thread that connects all, that is the unity in diversity. And this is the unity that discards diversity. These two things are very different friends. So then this same ideas will be described about how the sattvika action takes place, how rajasika action, the characteristics of all these different actions, that how a sattvika action comes about, and then rajasika action, tamasika actions, and what the different results they take place. The sattvika action is niyatam sangarahitam raga dveshata kritam afala pretsuna karma yat sattvikam uchyate. That an action that is ordained, performed without attachment, free from attraction or repulsion, by one not coveting its fruit, is declared to be sattvika. That it is to be performed with all these ingredients, that it is not out of attachment that you are going to do it. That I am attached to something, I am attached to, for example, watching football game. And so you are doing something maybe right, but the idea is it is propelled by the attachment to something. And then that therefore has the tremendous potential, not just potential but certainty, that it will create bondage for that person. Then niyatam, something that is appropriate for you to do, that has been conjoined upon you to for that you have to do it, you take up that work, not out of your attraction or repulsions or attachments. Araga adveshatah kritam. That a before raga dvesha is applicable to both of these. So a raga means not out of a particular attraction or aversion. You are not doing it out of any attraction or aversion. And a phala prepsuna, you are not desirous also of any particular result to accrue you from that. That karma is considered sattvika karma. Then will be described rajasika and tamasika. Our time for today is finished. So the two remaining variations of action we will try to see in our next Friday class. Any questions about today's discussion? Yes, Shravani. Yes, that is a good question. Thank you for bringing out this. That take up one idea and make that your whole life, put all your soul in it. But that doesn't mean that you say that nothing else exists or nothing else is important. I accept that this is why this is important for me. For Shravani, something else may be important. I don't say that this is the whole thing. I am taking up one idea because I cannot take up 100 ideas. It is like taking one plane to go to somewhere. I need not fly to that place in 10 aeroplanes. I have to take one plane. So I take the one plane to get there. That is the catching up one idea. Because otherwise we just take up 100 ideas, don't follow any of them. It is like Sri Ramakrishna's example of trying to dig the well, but this fellow started digging at 10 places and ended up in not having water anywhere, only the holes, 2 feet deep hole in 20 places. Had he gone 40 feet deep at one place, he would have got water. So that is the explanation for that. That you take up one, but do not think that that is the only way to achieve the success. It is a method has been told there, not the goal. Take up one idea, means that is the methodology is told for the purpose of concentration. That on one you can concentrate, on many you cannot concentrate. It is at many places you will see that this is vital for progress, to take up one thing. But that one thing shouldn't be like, you know, that is the only thing in the world and everybody must follow it. It is something that is you are taking up as a vehicle for you to the understanding of the whole. So that is the day. In Patanjali's yoga aphorisms also you see, therefore, that the mind keeps on getting digressed, disturbed, and just thrown into manifolds. And to prevent that, eka tattvabhyasah, very beautiful idea given there, therefore train it to practice one thing. That is why we are told have ishta devata, because God can appear in hundreds and millions of forms. But then if you keep on just, you will not be able to form any connection. And therefore have your personal understanding of that divine. Hold on to that and then see that in that everything is added. It is, you are taking that one as representation of all. So therefore, that taking up that idea is as a matter of, or the instrument for one's progress. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. On June 1st, we will be having a day-long retreat, Saturday, it is a Saturday, a day-long retreat given by Swami Atmajnanananda, who is stationed in Washington DC Center. So he has agreed to come and give a retreat on a very fascinating scheme, Swami Vivekananda's Song of Samadhi. So those who would and can join, please register for that retreat. Gita sugita kartavya kimanyat shastra vistarehi ya swayam padmanabhasya mukha padmadvine srita ekam shastram devaki putra hitam eko devo devaki putra eva eko mantrah tasya namani yani karma pekam tasya devasya seva shri krishna arpanamastu.